Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 10th of April, and I'm recording at 9:45 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, today, taking stock markets, today started quite firm in the Asia-Pacific region, which was not that surprising given Wall Street's rally yesterday, helped by the Fed. Remember, the Fed came in and gave some reassurances that interest rates were going to stay, short-term interest rates were going to stay low for a lengthy period. Well, Japan had a certainly a very modest gain, and that's because of the strong yen. And it's going to have a problem tomorrow, I think, because the yen is still strong. It's at 101.52 yen to the US dollar. And then there's still the ongoing uncertainty over the sales tax that they've introduced. So until the Bank of Japan does something either to push the yen lower or to, I think hopefully they won't need to cancel the sales tax. I don't think that would boost confidence, but there are question marks about Japan because of those two developments, and in the global beauty contest, people look elsewhere while questions persist. There have also been questions about China. China, as you know, plenty of those, and I think the encouraging signs. We had another good rally in here today. The Shanghai Composite Index was up 1.38%. It probably has the lowest correlation relative to Wall Street of any stock market of importance, and it is important as the world's second largest, as China's the world's second largest economy. The Hang Seng Index, a good gain here, up 1.5% overall. Most of the Asian indices were firmer here today. India, which had a big upside dynamic yesterday, but just a little tiny gain today, but that's nonetheless positive development. The only surprise was Indonesia, which was down over 3%. I don't know why on that, but it just makes me well, it keeps me cautious on the ASEAN indices. They peaked last year after terrific runs. Also, they need particularly the commodity exporting ones, and they are mostly commodity exporters. I'm thinking of Indonesia and the Philippines and Thailand. A lengthy rest, I think, is what they're going to receive, and I've said that on a number of occasions over the last few months. So the interesting markets really in this region, to repeat a point I've made on a number of occasions in these audios, is that I think that China's quite interesting, although clearly a bit of an enigma over the last few months, in the sense that it's not clear exactly what the policies are going to be. But China has attractive valuations, and they're also evident. I do believe them because they're also evident in the Hang Seng Index, Hong Kong Hang Seng Index. And I like Vietnam, which has been a stellar performer this year. It's currently in a consolidation phase, touched its high today, recovery high, and then backed off. So I think this consolidation may go on a little bit longer. Now, the Asian markets are going to struggle to match today's gains, given the influence of Wall Street and what happened today. But first, let's look at the European markets, which caught part of the Wall Street decline, and they're softer generally. The two biggest declines are the Spanish IBEX, 1.42%, and the FTSE MIB, 1.33%. They were firmer yesterday, and this is a sector that I really like. There is the Russian factor, which is a bit of a concern. I'm always concerned about European economic policies, but hopefully they're going to continue to gradually improve. And certainly confidence has improved quite considerably in the European markets. The valuations are certainly more attractive than on Wall Street, and they've got arguably the best central banker in the business in terms of Mario Draghi, and thank heavens for that. But looking at Wall Street here today, you remember I already mentioned that the Fed coming in and offering reassurances yesterday. Well, that was a fleeting gain, and anybody who was sucked in yesterday in terms of buying is underwater in here today. And the here's the here are the numbers. The Dow closed down 1.62%. It's not too bad, but the S&P closed down an eyebrow raiser, 2.09 percent, and the Nasdaq, bigger eyebrow raiser, closed down 3.1%. Now that's will weigh on global sentiment tomorrow, as we've already seen Europe affected by it, and we have also seen Canada, Mexico, and Brazil only slightly lower here overall. It's marching to a different drumbeat as it has been for really, really quite some time. But so what do I make of this? I think that this just reaffirms that the corrective process is underway, and I think it's going to be a 10% plus correction for the Standard and Poor's 500. And the plus factor, how big is that plus factor going to be? Well, sell-offs can become a bit emotional. The Fed may try to stem it, but hopefully not too soon. Corrections are a natural event. They would improve the valuations on Wall Street, but 10% plus on Nasdaq, or that could become 20%, and I don't regard that as a bear market. As I've said before, part of the problem here is the earnings cash flow is nowhere near matched the gains that we've seen in share prices, so that had pushed the valuations up in the fourth quarter of last year, and also to a certain extent in the first quarter of this year. And we know that short-term interest rates are going to remain very low overall, but Wall Street's too high relative to the rest of the markets. It's got a great story with the technology and particularly the competitive interest rates, but that's well priced into the market at this stage. And the Nasdaq, which had led on the way up, is leading on the way down, and so it'll get a bigger correction than we see for the S&P. Now, the bigger the correction, as I've said before, on Wall Street, the more attractive the market will become, and that will create another buying opportunity. But I would be cautious here in the short term, and when that buying opportunity does occur, I would favor again the better valuation stocks, and there are a fair number of them on Wall Street, which is why I'm not looking for a bear market, but I am looking for this 10% plus correction, as I to repeat that point. Okay, long dated government bonds. I didn't see that earlier, so give me a second here. SGD 10, bring this up, and I've been writing and working away here. That was interesting. We got down to a low on the US 10-year of 2.61%. Down by that 2.6% level, that's where we've seen demand come in. Noticeably, though, today's action has broken that gradual perception of higher reaction lows that we've really seen since the beginning of February. It's been in a tight range here, but it definitely challenged those lows, although it did close up off that 2.61 level and actually closed at 2.6474, so still in the range, but clearly much closer to today to the lower side of the range than the higher side of the range overall. Other developments of interest: the dollar, again, it's soft in here today. The dollar index down to 79.42. You remember I mentioned yesterday the 79 level has been an area where support has occurred over a good many months, and we've had upward dynamics off that 79 level. Are we going to see it this time? I don't know here, but I think that sentiment will deteriorate a little bit further if Wall Street goes below that 79. I beg your pardon, if the dollar goes below that 79 level on the dollar index for more than a few days. Now, elsewhere today, excuse me, we've got the euro looking a little bit expensive against the dollar at 1.3888. Sterling really not changed. Current actually down a tiny fraction, 1.6784. Today, the Aussie dollar strengthening 0.94. And let's look at ADXY. I'm sure that would be a little bit firmer. That's the Asian dollar index. No, I'm wrong. It had pushed up over 116 yesterday, which has been a little bit of a resistance level this year. And a bit, this year. And closed down slightly here today. But some of the other developments of greater interest. You remember we had that shakeout in the precious metals yesterday. I'm just going to take these headset off for a second, just have a little cough. It's pardon these human frailties. And a glass of water, and presto, back in business here. Precious metals are firmer today. Palladium, it's good, almost $10 higher at $7.92 and change. Platinum, this is helped by the weaker dollar here, up to $1,458. That's up over $19. Silver couldn't hold at the higher level, but that was looking in danger of breaking down yesterday, but pushed up to 2040 early today, but now trading at 20.04, but that's still up 27 cents on the day. And gold looking nice in here today at 1318 and change, so nearly $1,319 here. That's up over 7 today. Okay, CCI, bring that up. That's the cumulative commodity index, and that tested its high in March, and backed off a little bit. Still in this consolidation phase, but I've said before, we'd need to see let me give the level first. It's at 565. Now, remember, that was testing 500 last year, and not that far off it in a January dip below 505. And now, say, trading at 565 and change. So that's been a bit of a star performer. It was led by the agricultural commodities, and some of those are giving up a little bit of ground, but others have been picking up in here, and I will run through them with you. The industrial metals have been a little bit firmer, and we also, well, crude had good gains yesterday, but a little bit easier here today. Not much, only down a quarter of a dollar on the WTI. The Brent down 62 cents. So what else is helping this out in here? I think it's mostly the industrial and precious metals that have led to gains. I think, well, the rough rice a little higher, but mostly the more agricultural commodities actually slightly lower. And natural gas also higher in here at 4.65. So that's it today. Watch out for Wall Street's little bit of Wall Street fallout tomorrow in the markets. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.